The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Well, good morning, everyone. This is Andrew Locher. I'm subbing in for Mr. Stephen Fleury on today's Trumpet Daily Radio program. It's been a terrific SEP thus far, talking about the summer educational program, of course. And the church sponsors this program to work with our young people. They come in from all over the world, typically. This year, I believe, our only international campers came from Canada, obviously affected by the COVID restrictions on travel. My children have benefited from this program over the years. It's a very exciting program. I think for the young people in the church, this has got to be one of the highlights of the year, if not the highlight. And yet, as the days pass by, it gets to be pretty exhausting. There's a lot of great activities, but it is a challenging program. Our intention is to prove to the young people that living God's way of life really works. And it does. And it shows them, really, I think, a very dynamic, exciting life. This year, I believe there is a little bit more focus on exercising in the morning, just kind of getting some routines down. They've given the young people some choice in the activities they want to participate in. It's really just been exciting to watch how it all has come together. Each year, the staff, primarily the college students, are the labor force for SEP. But this year, even more of the full-time staff has been incorporated. We use some of the ministers, some of the full-time employees. But I wanted to thank the volunteers that come in to serve at SEP. There are married couples that have come here, some that are retired, some that are young, that take off work. They come, they work very long, hard hours. Excuse me, have a little bit of a cold here. You have to excuse my voice. But anyway, they come in, they work in the kitchen, they do laundry, they're instructors, perhaps first aid. They just really give of themselves. It's truly a very serious commitment, and camp wouldn't be the same without them. My wife this year has been privileged to be a little bit more involved than in times past. She's assisting Mr. Joel Hilliker and Mrs. Amy Fleury with some of the classes that they're responsible for. And it's been interesting to see how exhausted she is. It really is quite an active program. This year is different. In a way, there's a lot more variety in just some of the different classes beyond the typical offerings that we have. They've offered classes in leatherworking, fishing, automotive, sewing. They even have cornhole going on out there. But then, of course, we get back into the big sports that are typically here, with softball, archery, soccer, football. They have touch rugby for the young ladies. Really a lot of great physical activity. There's a new obstacle course. They have morning exercise routines. But in addition to that, and perhaps the most important, are the forums that they receive on a daily basis. I'll get to that in just a moment. I had down in my notes here, and I was thinking about it quite a bit yesterday. I couldn't help but think of some of those that used to be here with us at SEP, some that used to have family with the church who, for one reason or another, are no longer with us. And I think about their children most of all, at least I have in the last few days. I think about what they're missing, and it saddens me for the children's sake. A few of these people really love to be vocal about everything that we're doing wrong. And of course, I strongly disagree with them. But when you see the young people, and you see the activities and the volunteer work and the fact that you have the ministers that are so heavily involved, they're exhausted. They're really working very hard. All of the staff, the same thing, the college students, everybody's pouring themselves into helping these young people learn to give them a better or a vision of a better way of life. When you think of the activities that those that aren't here, what they're missing, it makes you feel sad for those that have separated themselves for one reason or another. It really is a tragedy, and especially if you think about the children. I was watching Fox News this morning, and they interviewed a couple different families in different segments of young people that were murdered in the last couple of weeks in the violence that's taking place in the big cities. And the parents that are talking, the politicians, the newscasters, it's a satanic problem. And it's politicized. And you just, it kind of speaks to what these young people are missing at camp. How is it that this world has gotten so off? You feel for those parents that lost those little children that were just in the prime of their youth. Some of those kids, just beautiful little children, gunned down. And I think in a way, if you look at those that have been with this program that no longer are, I think you could draw some obvious parallels. You can't deny the fruits of this program, and it is so very important. And I just think it's a real treat to be a part of. I've been assisting Mr. Ryan Malone with the speech program this year. He's conducted that over the years. He's got a very well-refined program. And I was privileged to be a part of some speech evaluations over the last few days. And I couldn't help but sit back and think of how impressive our young people are. Some of them, it's the first time they've given a speech. And you can imagine the difficulty in doing so. Some people are quite shy. Some people actually love it. I think they'd like to have speech maybe five times a day because they like talking so much. But really interesting lives that these young people have. Most of them are poised. They're exceptional young people with tremendous experiences, some quite easy and funny, some harder. And to listen to them and to think about what this program is doing for them, I just really am thankful to God that He's given us the summer educational program. Now, as I alluded to a little bit earlier, if you consider the Trumpet Daily radio program just from yesterday with Mr. Stephen Fleury and how he talked about John Adams, and just imagine our young people listening to messages like that every morning at SEP. Mr. Stephen Fleury, Mr. Joel Hilliker, Mr. Brad McDonald, Mr. Wayne Turgeon. I mean, those are some powerful, powerful educators in God's church. And each day they provide these instructional lectures. They're historical in nature, biblical. They talk about practical education, work ethic. And I think that the program, the material there is really unmatched. It's like our young people are getting a top-class history semester-long program crammed down into a three-week period. It really is just a great program. That reminds me of some of these comments that Mr. Richard Palmer sent across this morning. These were comments from just the previous day or two from the TDR. First comment says, I learned so much from this show. Another one says, thank you for the lessons on President Adams. And as always, thank you for the truth. Another comment here, what a blessing to have the truth given to us and to be able to acknowledge what a positive change you can have and you can have a good life with God helping you. There are really some comments here that I think you could say they'd fit into camp. They fit into the Trumpet Daily Radio. Another comment here says, a most encouraging broadcast today. Thank you all. Thanks to the TD History Podcast. And one final comment here, it says, it's really sad to see how divided this nation has become. No leadership, no morals, and deceitfulness is at an all-time high. There is no truth in the land and no desire and faith to love God. How true. The summer educational program has been working with these young people, educating them. And as those comments point out, if we apply the things that we're listening to, if we learn from the Bible, if we appreciate our history, we will be changed for the better. Well, as you'd expect, with God's work, the events, the programs, they overlap one another. It used to be that they would kind of fall in sequence. I think I mentioned this last time. And yet we're getting to the point where they're just one event on top of another. We have the school year starting in just about, I think, 2 weeks or so. And even in the midst of that, we have restarted a program here on campus that has quite a bit of history dating back to Mr. Armstrong. I'm speaking about the agriculture program as part of God's work, notably the colleges in Brickett Wood and Big Sandy. We've used their study materials, their education, their experience is based on the Bible. And once again, we're making a more concerted effort to expand the agriculture program here on God's campus in Edmond, but also it's taking place over at Edstone. And again, it's not that it hasn't been happening in the past. I think we kind of have our ebbs and flows with it. We seem to be in a really positive time, a big expansion time for the program. It is difficult in today's climate. It's difficult in the state of Oklahoma to raise the bountiful crops. And yet, I think applying God's standards, we will be quite successful in that. God does have laws. God does have principles that should yield godly fruit. The agriculture program, we're calling it AGRA, A-G-R-A. It's an acronym for Armstrong Guild of Regenerative Agriculture. And now the name might be refined a little bit because it's so hard to pronounce. But Steve Herkus, he's an instrumental part of this program. He's the one that came up with the name, and he's helped shape the vision of this program. We have a couple pictures of our crew here. Other people involved are Jason Hensley, Josh Wainwright, Douglas Culpepper, and of course, our chief farmer, me. Having a little fun this morning here with some of these pictures. Those are some experienced farmers. It's my attempt at humor this morning. The pictures that we have there show some older men that have obviously experienced a life of farming. And while we're a little bit younger here, they do have a lot of experience. We will talk a lot more about the ag program as we move forward. But God does really seem to be blessing our efforts right now. We bought a tractor, and it's a great tractor. There's a picture of it if you're watching YouTube. And if you're not watching YouTube, maybe it's better so you didn't see those other pictures that I showed. But this tractor that we bought, it was an interesting story. We're trying to get the appropriate size for what we need. And we finally settled on that tractor. It's a used tractor. And the day that we went and purchased the tractor, we received almost the entire purchase price in an estate donation to the church. I won't tell you the amount. I'll just say, for example, $50,000 for the tractor. And we received over $49,500 in an estate donation. Again, just using some round figures there. What's interesting is those estate donations, they're unpredictable. We haven't had one of that size for just a little while, and it just reinforced in my mind that God is very much behind the efforts that we're getting into here with the ag program. We purchased some other supplies, and it's interesting to just get into this program. I think we're all excited. Farming is probably going to teach me some patience. I keep telling the guys we need to see some produce. We're spending all this money, so we need to see some fruits of this right away. It has been interesting, just as a side note here, with the supplies that we bought for the farm, that we're just learning with different projects here that the supply chain is really broken down due to coronavirus. A lot of the warehouse materials are running out, and resupplying the warehouses where we all shop, that's where things are not really going as well as they have in the past. So we find prices are increasing, and it's going to be interesting as time moves forward if this coronavirus, if the restrictions don't loosen up. The country is really going to grind to a halt. If you have your Bible, you might go ahead and pull it out and take a look. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to read God's record of creating mankind and placing him in the Garden of Eden. God provided the abundance. He provided the sustenance to support life on earth. Genesis 2, verse 7, as we read through this, you see that what God created is very pleasant. It was bountiful. It was nutritional. It was all part of his special creation. And really, those descriptions, what we find in the Bible, those set the goals for our program. Genesis 2, verse 7 says, "The eternal God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the eternal God planted a garden eastward in Eden, God is a gardener. And there in the garden, he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground, the eternal God made the eternal God to grow every tree that is pleasant to sight, good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. So it's a biblical passage that we read over frequently. Obviously, there's just a multitude of subjects you could talk about there. But I think even if you just take it at the plain reading of it here, you see God's interest in gardening. You see his interest in sustaining life through productive agriculture. And obviously, you'd expect to find that tied into God's word or God's work, excuse me, in this end time. I think when you see that God draws attention to the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, again, it's pulling together these physical duties and responsibilities, as I'll talk about in a moment. And it's all presented in the overarching thought of a tree of life. A tree of life, the truth that's being taught in the forums. God wants us to bring everything together, even the river that watered the Garden of Eden. Again, there's dual meaning to water. We know it's a type of God's spirit. We know the tree of life is about God's spirit. And we find all of this connection here. And so it is with this wonderful, bountiful creation that we are placed. And God gives us responsibilities. It is a wonderful gift from God to be able to participate in this life-sustaining endeavor. It's part of our educational program. We have school, we have services, we have SEP, we have the agriculture program. And in many ways, I think you could argue that it's like the start of the world tomorrow. If you've ever had plants or if you've ever had your own garden, you know it's very fulfilling to watch things grow. Young people, adults, all of us, we enjoy just building and working with God's creation. There is a young lady that gave a speech. Her mom arranges flowers professionally. And this young, her daughter, she expressed interest in following in her mother's footsteps in that profession. It's just really neat to see the young people interested in these type of programs. Carrying on now to verse 15 in Genesis 2. And it says, the eternal God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. To dress and keep. You would expect God's work to be dressing and keeping the land. We have just a beautiful campus here in Edmond. We have a beautiful campus in Edstone. They're really pictures of beauty. And it's something that we've learned from Mr. Armstrong. Again, if you're looking at the pictures on the YouTube stream, it's beautiful, lush, green campus part of the year. It also dries out here in the wintertime. But you even see there some of the fields that we get to work with. Edstone is equally as beautiful. Mr. Armstrong set the example for us to work with the campuses, to really make them beautiful, to grow. Now, part of the AGRA program, Mr. Fleury is concerned about the health of our students, our staff. He has approved this expanded agriculture program on campus, taking advantage of the acreage we have. And our goal is to really kind of focus on the protein or the meat, the eggs. We already have cattle on campus. We have some chicken or chickens. We're going to introduce sheep and possibly even turkey. We have initiated construction on a barn. At least we're working on that right now. We purchased the tractors we showed you. We're getting the appropriate implements, expanded our fence line for grazing. It is really coming together. Our goal in our practice will be to minimize the use of chemicals to treat the land and rather try to follow God's standard. Again, we're already out there producing some, but we are trying to expand that program. Our barn facilities, this is kind of an interesting development as well. Initially, the barn was planned mostly as shelter for the animals during the more inclement times of weather here, whether it be bad storms or the cold of winter. And yet, Jason Hensley went and has been working with Oklahoma State University, with the state inspectors, the Department of Health, the USDA. And what we found is that we can build our own butchering facilities to process the meat, and we expect to get some really beneficial beneficial benefit out of this butchering facility. So we will be processing our own meat here on campus. Members and students have contributed to this program over the years. Sorry, I'm just trying to rush through this. I didn't think I'd talk about farming for so long. But again, there's been a lot of research that has gone into this program, and we are building off of their work. A big thank you for those that have helped in the past over the years to teach us. There's too many people to name. But it is a program that, again, as I said, we'll be talking more about it. It's exciting for us. And we're even doing this over at Edstone, a little bit more limited project over there, but nonetheless doing the same thing. Well, I need to get moving on. We will take a break here in just a second. In the next segment, I want to address the biblical subject of blessings and cursings. We've talked about it before. And I think, again, just thinking about the programs that we have here, our responsibilities, it does seem to frequently come back to this subject. You can document from the Bible how God blesses and why he blesses and how to ensure you receive those blessings. And then, of course, there's also a reason for curses. And those are well known to our listeners. But I wanted to just recover some of that material with you, talk about a few news items. And we'll get to that right after this break.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Revelation 6 stands out as an important chapter because of how it locks in with another one of Jesus Christ's prophecies. The glorified Christ revealed these future events to John in Revelation 6, and it was Jesus Christ as a human being, God in the flesh, who prophesied these same events in Matthew 24, the same Christ. In the traditional Christian world, we hear a lot about Christ as our sacrifice, our Savior. But how about Jesus Christ the prophet? That's exactly what he was. His gospel and his whole message revolved around prophecy. So to know Christ means to know about the prophecies he spoke in Revelation and in Matthew. This free booklet, The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, shows that what Christ prophesied in Matthew 24 is primarily for the end time. For more than five decades, Herbert W. Armstrong declared a powerful and consistent warning about the dramatic fulfillment of end time prophecy. Using the Bible as his guide, Mr. Armstrong made bold predictions about the course of world events long before they occurred. He was right, encapsulates what he boldly proclaimed for more than 50 years. This free booklet will build your faith in the certainty of biblical prophecy. Request He Was Right and The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Both booklets are offered free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Well, last week, Mr. Stephen Fleury mentioned the Louisiana Purchase on his program. An undeniable blessing that helped make the U.S. a superpower, that opened the door for us to really grow and expand. And in a lot of ways, it's kind of like a Garden of Eden, providing the resources this nation needed, the space it needed to grow and develop. Our campus would have been part of that purchase, as he mentioned. And he even drew attention to the fact that it probably would cost about $5 to purchase the land that we're on here at that time. Of course, we paid quite a bit more for it. But wow, if you look at what God has done here, what he's doing on this campus to help us develop and use this special land. We used to use a camp facility just up the road, just a little bit, maybe 5-10 miles from us. And I think initially, just moving away from that camp facility was part of the motivation for buying as many acres as we did down here. on the campus that we have today. We've used state parks, and again, they're all very nice. I'm not trying to belittle those facilities, but if you look at how God has blessed us here on this campus, He's given us very productive land. We conduct daily business here. It's our world headquarters right here in Edmond, Oklahoma. We have facilities and staff housed on campus. We, of course, have Imperial Academy on campus here. We have Herbert W. Armstrong College. We have Armstrong Auditorium, where we hold concert events, church services. We use that facility for all kinds of things. Again, another side note here, we're dealing with coronavirus and the concert series, and it's just been interesting trying to figure out when we can plan events, what the precautions will be, what precautions will be required of us to protect the patrons. And really what I just feel like we're finding over and over again is people are just pushing everything to next year. They're not even willing to take a risk. Some of the performers are concerned. Of course, we're also concerned for the health and safety of people, but we can't live in a hole forever. God expects us to grow. God expects us to develop and build. That's why He gives us this whole earth. And again, if you just take it down to this little microcosm of campus here in Edstone, and you look at what God does there, He has agriculture programs. He has SEP, educational facilities. He has office facilities. God really works and builds and blesses if we do what He says. We have other support infrastructure here on campus. Bailey Crawford, one of our production guys here today, he's conducting archery. We can shoot bows and arrows here on campus and not risk the life of anybody, well, at least unless Bailey's shooting. That might be a little bit different. But we have ball fields, dormitories, other housing, support buildings, now the ag program, parking lots, lakes, gardens, fountains. You just go on and on about how God has blessed us here. It is really a utopia in so many ways. What's, I think, even more or just greater blessing is the fact this is all paid for. It's interesting, some of those individuals that, again, used to be with us that for one reason or another are no longer with us, they like to promote a false idea that we're, you know, greatly in debt and all these problems. And it's not true. This is all paid for. These wonderful facilities, this education that's available to our young people. This property is used every day by hundreds of people. We're recognized in the community for just the beauty, the activity on this land, and all of it in less than 180 acres. It really is remarkable what you can do with the blessings from God. If you have your Bible, we can go back to Genesis 22. Genesis 22 and pick up the story in verse 16 here. God says, By myself have I sworn, says Eternal, for because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, breaking to the middle of a story here, Abraham was asked if he would be willing to sacrifice his own son to do what God says, to believe God and then act on it. Now, of course, God wasn't looking for him to take the life of his son, but God was looking for that level of commitment. He carries on here in verse 17. He says that in blessing, I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Really a meaningful passage. Really inspiring. God does bless abundantly. He talks about, you know, just multiplying the family, really blessing the like he says here, the possession of the sea gates or the gates of your enemies, giving an open door to expand this way of life around the world. And because of that, because of obedience, because of applying God's way of life, all nations on earth would be blessed through that. It's pretty amazing to think about how God blesses. And when you put that in the light of what we're seeing today, this cancel culture and denying how this world has been blessed by God through the nations of Israel, Mr. Stephen Fleury's obviously focused a lot on that. It's really Satan is trying to blot out the name, the history of this blessed culture, you could say, from God. Satan has really tried to demonize Israel. Now, there's obviously a lot to cover here. I just wanted to mention that God blessed Abraham because of his faith and obedience. He believed God. He followed through with God's direction. That's part of SEP here, really. It's a matter of teaching and doing. It's a matter of receiving maybe some classroom instruction and then stepping out onto the field and doing it. It's a matter of being taught to read, to study history, to know what's going on, and then living that way. Of course, our main focus is to turn the young people to God. This lesson from Abraham and his commitment to God and his way, as told through this particular example here with Isaac, it shows how God blesses if we follow through with what he asks us to do. We have a great booklet here, the United States and Britain in Prophecy. I'm sure you have a copy of that. I hope you do. If you don't, you've got a real treat if you would just call in an order or go online and request a copy of the United States and Britain in Prophecy. I strongly, strongly suggest that you go back and read and study it again. The rise of the British Empire to its glory and the benefit that brought to this world, followed by the rise of the United States. Really, just a tremendous story that explains the world that we see around us and explains why, as I'm going to talk about, why it's gotten so troublesome. If you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 28, Deuteronomy chapter 28, this is the chapter, it's a companion with the Leviticus 26, where God elaborates on how he would bless or what to expect in curses if we don't do what he says. We have been blessed, as I have talked about, but I want to focus a little bit on some of the curses that we're seeing around us today. Verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28, it says, "But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." Just that one verse there, if you stop and really read what it says, if you will not listen to the voice of God, if you don't study, if you don't apply to observe, to do all his commandments, God says you can expect some trouble in your life. This applies to individuals, to families, to nations, to the whole human race. And if there's not repentance, if there's not a change, then God says, well, all of these curses will overtake you. Verse 16 says, "Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field." It's borderless. The curses, the troubles are everywhere. Any longtime listener to programming here on KPCG or to the Key of David program, and even if you go back and you think about Mr. Armstrong's radio and television broadcast, you know all about the blessings that God promises to give us and how they've been fulfilled. Again, the United States and Britain prophecy tells you that really exciting story. And we see like this campus developing from just undeveloped land into the beautiful campus that it is today. It comes by obeying God's voice. And yet, as we look around the world, we see that if you don't continue in the obedience, if you don't follow the example of Abraham, then there will be troubles. This nation has not obeyed God. And yet somehow they attribute to themselves the greatness that they live in, the bounty. And of course, we know that they came initially as a blessing from God. But the time has come that if there is continued disobedience, if there's continued selfishness and vanity, that we will be cursed. God set us up to be successful. God gave us tremendous leadership and blessed the direction of the nation. Abraham Lincoln, I'm going to quote to you a famous quote in the United States and Britain prophecy. He knew that these blessings didn't come upon us by our own work, our own investment or development. They were gifts from God. If you have the USBIP, our version of it, or our printing of it, I should say, on page 156, just quoting Abraham Lincoln, it says, "We find ourselves in the peaceful possession of the fairest portion of the earth as regards fertility of soil, extent of territory, and salubrity of climate. We find ourselves the legal inheritors of these fundamental blessings. We toil not in the acquirement or the establishment of them. Right? Abraham Lincoln's talking about the how we exist, where we live. We find ourselves in this Garden of Eden type environment with the responsibility to dress and to keep. He continued on in this proclamation. This is from 1863. He said, "It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. We have been the recipients of the choicest blessings of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, power, as no other nation ever has grown, but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us, and we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own." Really amazing words to think about. Mr. Stephen Fleury spoke to us over the weekend and talked to the campers, the headquarters congregation at church services, and just dwelled on the life and the observations of Abraham Lincoln. My wife, sometimes when she can't sleep, she'll put on an audiobook or something, and she had one on last night of Abraham Lincoln, just kind of going through his life and the difficulties he faced, the uphill battles, personal struggles, even after becoming president with the death of his son, Willie, and then the struggles that his wife had through that death, the battles, all of that pressure. And he recognized that without God, it wouldn't work. God is the one that gave us these blessings. It was really actually interesting to listen to that book. In some ways, I was a little bit frustrated. It's 2:00 in the morning and she's playing an audiobook. But nonetheless, it was really interesting. I didn't want to go back to sleep. I wanted to listen to, it was kind of a dramatic reading of what he was going through with some quotes from him and from his wife and their experiences. And I was thinking about the division and the hatred and animosity that we see around us today. Those who would choose anarchy, those who forgot about the sacrifice of the men and women of the past that have helped build this nation. Today, the focus on destroying our heritage, removing God, fighting, murder, it's really not human. It is satanic in origin. And I believe we're really in the outer edges of the tribulation. We're getting very close. And as you look at this world, I don't know if any of us think that we'll ever go back to what was normal just 6 months ago, just a year or two ago. It is a different time. I encourage you, I implore you to read through The United States and Britain in Prophecy. It's just a tremendous book, totally important to us right now. It's the most widely distributed book of God's church in this end time. Herbert W. Armstrong distributed millions. And even for us today, it's still one of the most requested books that we have. There are two main passages that in the Bible that focus on these blessings and cursings. I mentioned there in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 18. Going back to Deuteronomy 28. Sorry, I think I said Deuteronomy 18. I meant 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. Again, it says, "But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe to do all his commandments, his statutes, which I command you this day, that these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." Verse 17 talks about being cursed in the basket and in the store, just the crop failures, the warehouse shortage, as I talked about. Verse 18, "Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind and the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Eternal shall send upon you cursing, vexation, rebuke in all that you set your hand unto for to do until you be destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings whereby you have forsaken me. Listen to verse 21 here. It says, Eternal shall make the pestilence to cleave unto you till he has consumed you from off the land where you go to possess it. And verse 22, the last verse I want to read here, the Eternal shall smite you with a consumption, with a fever, with inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, with blasting, with mildew, that you and they shall pursue you until you perish. God is trying to teach mankind to come back to him, to repent. There's no need for this. God sets us up for success. He gives us land to produce. And he puts right in the middle of that land the tree of life. He waters it with the Spirit, his Holy Spirit, a type of water, or water being a type of the Holy Spirit. And God wants us to dress, to keep, to work with things. But if we don't, as he says here, you're going to just struggle with your cities. You're going to struggle in the field. You're going to go through pestilence and sickness that just cleave to you, like COVID. And it's really interesting to know how it just sticks around and around. Now, it's widely overstated, I believe, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. But if you go through and you start to apply world news to what God is talking about here, it does really make this prophecy come to life. And God says, if you would just come back, if you would repent and return, you could return to those blessings. Look at the world around us. I have a few news stories to make this point. The military presence of the United States and the British Empire secured our way of life. And while not godly as far as relying on weapons instead of God, the military power that was used in these nations in the past really promoted peace and could still do so. And yet God tells us that we're going to lack the will to use it for the right reason. Without God's direction, we are like every other nation. These are difficult times, and the nation is suffering. The military is going through some difficulties. I have an article here. This is from July 13th from military.com, and it's talking about a pilot that was injured in a crash of his F-16. And if you're watching the YouTube channel, we'll just flip through a couple pictures of aircraft here. This is all in the last week or two. I guess it's been about 2 weeks now. We lost an F-16. It says this crash comes just weeks after this other gentleman crashed an F-15, another type of plane there. Then we have the F-35. The F-22 Raptor. We have all of these different planes. So in the last couple of weeks, we've crashed one of each of those. On top of that, we had the fire on the ship in the Navy shipyard. If you're again looking at the picture there, a huge fire. And if you research into this ship, I should have written down the name. I can't believe I've forgotten it. Anyway, it's a little bit harder to pronounce anyway. So this ship was actually one of our flagships for a Marine Expeditionary Unit that's based out of Japan. It's a big ship. It's a helicopter assault carrier. It's used by the Marine Corps for beach landings, that type of thing. But it's based in Japan. It's part of our very highly visible presence to the Chinese in the South China Sea to let them know what they would be dealing with if they stepped out of line, you could say. And there it sits in port, burning up. Just those four aircraft and that ship, which they think is probably not worth trying to salvage, $1 billion worth of loss in just the last few weeks for accidents. That's an example of being cursed. Another news story here. This came from Richard Palmer about 2 weeks ago from Zero Hedge. It says the world is drowning in debt. According to the IMF, global fiscal support in response to the crisis will bring more than $9 trillion U.S. dollars, or approximately 12% of world GDP, into this fight against coronavirus. It's costing $9 trillion. The enormous increase in public spending and the fall in output will lead to a global government debt close to 105% of GDP. It's all falling in. The tremendous expense, the lack of economic activity and output, the unemployment figures, I don't know what they are right now, but all of those people stuck at home because of a flu virus. And yes, it has cost the lives, but as we've well documented, those lives, it's not too much different than a regular flu season. Maybe a little bit more severe, but we've never shut down the global economy like this. They really are out of control. Another article here, this one is from not even sure what that is. Oh, here it is, CNN News. They're talking about the federal debt. There's more stimulus on the way. They said the resulting deficit of $2.7 trillion was the largest federal government has ever run in the first 9 months of the fiscal year. So we're spending money that we don't have. They're talking today in the Senate. The White House is working with the Senate, hoping to advance another round of stimulus onto the House to be passed. White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow said that it's increasingly clear there will be a fourth stimulus package as the country attempts to recover after the financial devastation caused by the coronavirus pandemic. He says, we will try to make it targeted. We will try to incentivize not just work, although work is crucial, and going back to work. We want to incentivize investments. We want to go to a pro-growth package. And he went on to talk about just all of the troubles this nation is facing. And, of course, very political issue, a very expensive issue, all of it because of coronavirus. And as I said before, it's really politicized and made to look a lot worse than it is. I have an article here. I won't quote it now. It's from the Epoch Times about the testing data in Florida is not representing what they're actually seeing there. And so, again, you find these examples. This article shows it could be a simple mistake, but they're over-reporting the impact of coronavirus. And they're talking again about closing everything down. How can we survive like that? All of the mental problems and the difficulties that we've talked about. Another article here about the Army's Captain America, who served nearly 12 combat tours, dies by suicide after moving to Washington, D.C. This is just from about a week ago as well. It's the story of a Green Beret, and he was part of a battalion that fought in this province in Afghanistan. They said it was perhaps the worst fighting of that entire war. And 30 soldiers from that battalion have committed suicide since returning. And it just talks about the serious problems. They survived that intense warfare, and yet they come home, and the impact of war, the impact of society, the thanklessness of those around them puts them into depression and leads to this terrible pandemic, really, of suicide. Well, I could go on and on. I'm just really running out of time here, over-prepared. There's controversy in Syria. Once again, we can't forget about what's taking place in Syria with the civil war there. There's dispute over who's going to provide the assistance, who's going to bring aid into all these refugees. Again, if you look at that picture, nothing but utter devastation. The Russians want to control who gets the aid, and the Western nations are fighting about that too. I was going to talk about some of the explosions in Iran, some of the terrorism the problems. I won't say terrorism. They're the terrorists. And yet there's been a lot of mysterious explosions and problems that they're facing there that's slowing down their nuclear program. I would point you to Watch Jerusalem. It's one of our programs here on KPCG. The last program that Mr. Noctegal put together discusses what's taking place in Iran. And it's really an interesting perspective. You need to go back and listen to that program. He also has a write-up on it, July 9th, on thetrumpet.com, entitled Mysterious Explosions Expose Iran's Continued Nuclear Ambition. You can just look at these news stories and know that we are headed for disaster. There are curses that this nation is facing, that this world is facing. And it's not how God intended things to be. You could go back to the Garden of Eden. You go back to that creation story. You could think about what's taking place on this campus. God wants us to dress and to keep. God wants us to obey and be blessed. That's what we're teaching the young people here. We're teaching them those details in all the different activities. It's part of our education program. It's part of what you listen to on KPCG. This is a very exciting time to be alive. We know that the Bible says it's going to get worse before it gets better. And yet we focus on the fact it will get better. Take a look at this campus. Take a look at the programs of this work. Read through the United States and Britain in prophecy and understand where God wants all of this to culminate. His son, Jesus Christ, is going to return. He's going to stop all of this madness. He's going to draw people back to his truth, back to this Garden of Eden experience. And the building and the blessings that will follow are just really breathtaking. Well, I had a whole third segment that I'm not getting to. Perhaps I can get to that on the next time I give a program here. It has been really good to be with you. Thank you for your prayers for the success of SEP. As I look outside today, it's probably about 15, 20 degrees cooler than it should be. It's overcast. God is really blessing these young people. He's been blessing this entire program. So thank you for listening today, and your host, Stephen Fleury, will be back with you tomorrow.